Hi, Reed. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Dad?
I'm fine.
Great.
I was just thinking as I said that that's always been our stand-in for almost a feeling.
Yeah, but we don't talk about feelings.
We don't. Which is why today's very special episode is such an enigma.
Uh-huh. Yeah, is this like going to be a special number or something, or is it just...
I don't know. Like, I think we're probably not even sure at this point if we should put this out on the airwaves.
Yeah, this is kind of against our brand.
So if someone is hearing this, it'll be like, oh my gosh, this is revolutionary.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, do you want to explain? Do you want me to explain?
Yeah, so we had this idea of like, well, so we do reviews and we ask each other questions and stuff like that, but we never talk about feelings.
As a rule.
As like a rule. And we say, keep your feelings inside.
Yep.
And all that stuff. So somehow it came up to do a review of feelings.
Yep.
Or to acknowledge feelings in some way. And then now we're here and we decided that would be a good idea.
An objective review of feelings?
Yeah.
We're reviewing feelings with a spin in which we ask each other about... I'm just trying to giggle because I'm picturing like your mom starting to listen to this and all of a sudden realizing what it is and she would start getting all excited.
She'd gasp. She'd go, oh!
But it's a combination of our 10 questions where we ask things unscripted, unprepped.
Yeah.
And a review episode where we review specific things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're kind of doing a 5 feelings review.
Yeah.
Unknown to each other, which one is going to mention a...
Yeah.
Something of emotive quality. And
yeah.
Then what do you think about it? And then how do you relate to or experience it?
Mm-hmm. This might be our shortest episode ever. We might just say, yep, that's a feeling.
Yeah. I've fine. Heard about that. I also thought it was like, I don't know how you prepped for it, but I was picturing us like, opening up the thesaurus to happy and like, well, what are other ways we can express that?
Yeah, well, because I think, well, one of the ideas was to define how we think of it. And I'm like, I don't know what you've written down, but what if you wrote down some super nuanced something and then I just say, I don't know. Like, that'd be a good review.
Yeah, it could be a really short.
I guess you've got the giant dictionary right behind you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We could use that.
Yeah, we could look stuff up. What does this really mean?
Yeah. I think that'd be a good auditory thing of just being like, okay, trying to find.
That's a good point. Okay, if we...
G.
It's right there.
Yeah. It's very big.
Yeah.
It's the, like, the full Webster's...
Encyclopedic unabridged dictionary.
Yeah, so it's got
circa
all of
1990.
The words. So maybe not all the words.
Yeah.
They have new words since 1990.
It's probably got some, it's like old English. It's got a lot of U's in it and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we can pull
it's Webster's. It's not even Merriam-Webster.
Oh, yeah. Merriam hadn't been born yet.
Right.
When I got that dictionary. Okay. So we should just dive into it. Anything else to reintroduce?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, how do we want to...
Well, one of us will go first. Well,
and then the other person will go second?
Yep.
Okay.
And this will be the typical, like, oh, who wants to go first? Well, who went first last time and we never remember?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, do you have a good starting thing or...
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I just looked up in the thesaurus.
I did Google feelings.
I was glad I saw you on your phone. I thought... Feelings you can ask your dad about.
Yeah. there's like, Google has all of these like pictures. It's like wheels of like, kind of like a color mixing thing that you have in art class, but yeah. like in the center, it's like,
I hate this already, by the way,
but it's like in the center, there's like easy emotions, like happy, sad, nervous.
Oh,
and okay. then it like breaks down into smaller and smaller, like nuancing emotions.
Oh, okay. That, well, you did more research than I did.
Yeah. Otherwise I would have just referenced Inside Out and then.
Yeah. Which you've seen.
Both of.
Both. I've only seen a long time ago, the first one. So yeah, you got an edge.
Yeah. So I've, that's how I've prepped.
Okay. Well then do you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know which one to start with.
Oh, great. And I thought we might have some of the same. I don't know what we'll do about it.
But yeah, I don't know what we'll do if we have the same.
I mean, I think there's only four emotions and we
I think we covered them.
Five, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'll start on a not a down note
yeah.
and go with a jubilant.
Jubilant?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's one of the feelings.
jubilant. So
What's your gut reaction?
Yeah, so jubilant sounds a little bit over the top to me. Yeah. Like I can think of other more subdued, subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Jubilant, so like celebratory joy. Like mm-hmm. kind of that old school summer vacation, kind of like we get schools out. I finished yeah. sixth grade.
So childhood.
Yeah. Jubilant. Yeah. I don't associate jubilant with
adulthood.
Maybe that's. huh. Maybe it's just the state of mind I'm in right now. But that, yeah, I'm sure there are other people might, what other people think of jubilant, I might have other words for, and I still like think of adulthood versions of like really good celebratory feelings. But jubilant feels more like, yeah, we just finished this.
Yeah.
This big thing. I guess, so when each of you graduated, especially college and also high school, although your high school was less than.
Yeah, that was a little bit.
2020 graduation.
Of a bummer.
Yeah.
Like it was still good, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So those kinds of things I think were jubilant.
Yeah.
That's when I've experienced jubilance is yeah, that end of school or the end of like a big celebratory
thing.
Fest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When do I play that? When I've been to weddings, I think that's jubilant.
What about your own wedding?
Sure. Yeah. But I had lots of other things going on there too.
Right. That was kind of sounds like a big thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't been to a lot of weddings.
Yeah. Oh, you should go. They're fun. Yeah. A lot of them. Some of them are less interesting.
The last wedding I went to, the people are now divorced. So.
Oh, well, that happens too.
Yeah.
That's not a jubilant.
No.
Based on my secondhand experience with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jubilance.
I think who's good at jubilance is my sister, is Anna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it could be a middle name.
Yeah.
Although there's some other kinds of, and I'm trying to A-N-C-E, like there's some kind of word in ants, jubilance being one of them, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like exuberance.
Yeah.
Would be one. But yeah, absolutely. She's got that jubilant character.
Or our dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're good at that one.
And Nina, I think, is less jubilant than than other dogs, especially our first dog, Tico.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, she's got that celebratory.
She's good at
this is gonna happen.
Bouncing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bouncing is good.
Okay, I think we covered that.
Okay,
one.
Yeah, okay. Okay, done.
Check.
Checked one, yeah. Good. Okay. Maybe we'll put this on the year after all. So my first
Your first feeling.
My first feeling for you to describe and relate to is anxious.
Oh, I know that one.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I've got that one.
That's the first one I thought of. Okay.
Kind of rest of you thought of me as you thought of anxious. Yeah, I think that one comes up in a lot of different things.
What do you characterize anxiousness or anxiety as?
Like jittery, thought racing feelings. And it's kind of like a shutdown system.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get it.
We should go watch Inside Out 2. I think that explains it pretty well.
Okay.
But like this kind of high, like overkill prepper thought process where it's like you have to do everything to be ready for something that might happen in order to save yourself from that hypothetical.
Mm-hmm. You said overkill, and did you know there's a song called Overkill in the 80s by Men at Work?
No.
And then the frontman of that is Colin Hay, and he does an acoustic version of it called Overkill, and it's like it's about anxiety.
Oh.
And not being able to get to sleep. So I just,
well, that's good.
That was cool that you used that word.
Yeah. I should be a songwriter in the 80s.
Yeah, or, I mean, everyone's wearing t-shirts of music groups from the 80s now, even if you don't know who they are, so.
Yeah, I have a Grateful Dead t-shirt that you got me, and people are always asking me if I know the Grateful Dead, and I'm like, not really.
Yeah.
It just has teddy bears on it, and so it's cute.
Yeah, you travel with the Dead.
Yeah.
Dead and Company now.
Yeah, I had a professor in college ask me he was like, you're not a Deadhead, right? And I was like, no. And he was like, okay, good. You can still come in my office.
Oh my, okay. Because some people would have the other reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, you could write songs for.
Yeah, I could write songs.
Angsty, anxiety-ridden songs.
Yeah, and I don't think like anxiety feels like protective in a lot of ways, but when it's in too high of doses, it feels like, I think anxiety can be a good thing at times and in small doses because it keeps people moving a little bit. And
some people I wish had more of it.
Yeah. I think some people should have a little bit more of the what ifs, so that they're planning ahead a little bit. But also I wish I had less of the what ifs because there gets to be a point where like you can't sleep or.
Yeah. Which is a line of that song.
Yeah. That was reference.
I can't get to sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then it becomes like small doses of anxiety, which I think a lot of people experience, is like the rational what ifs, but then when you get into a lot of anxiety, it's the irrational what ifs.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think that's what overrides systems sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd ask you more personal things about that, but that's enough.
But that's more about my feelings. We're talking about feelings.
Yeah.
Right?
In the objective analysis.
Yeah. I feel bad like always thinking of anxiety as a bad thing. So I'm trying to think of it differently as not always a bad thing.
Proactive.
Helping. Maybe that's my anxiety talking, but I feel I feel bad about telling my anxiety that it's bad.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe we'll have someone will bring up remorse. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
My next one is embarrassment.
Ooh. I haven't had So I don't, I guess a lot of things, like I associate embarrassment with like, so literally Friday I was at work and I texted mom like, oh, it was like 10:30 in the morning. Like time to zip my fly up. I discovered my fly was down and I hadn't been around anyone. I had my shirt was right. untucked, so no one was going to see it. So it was like that kind of stuff, like, is like not a big deal to me anymore.
That's good.
So the typical kind of embarrassment kind of tropes are not, I mean, I don't want anyone like pull my pants down in the middle of a concert or something, but that's not, that doesn't keep me up at night. I think
that's also becoming less of a concern when you're out of elementary and middle school.
Okay, so that's fair. So maybe I'm just not like in the thick of being pants kinds of culture. But my sense of what, like, embarrassment is not, my form of embarrassment is like this sheepishness, like, I didn't get that done, or I didn't, I fell short of getting this thing that you were depending on me for.
Is that embarrassment or shame?
I guess or guilt. Shame. Sure. Yeah. Just go ahead and pile them up.
I'll just name all the emotions.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess I'm bringing that up because I don't have that. Apparently I walk around my fly down all the time. And I don't really have
just
that.
Just take
but
the I have fly off or something.
Version. Yeah. Or just walk around in my boxer shorts. I'd go out in my pajamas to pick up the paper off the driveway on Sunday mornings.
Right.
But I feel like I have not represented myself well when I've fallen short in some other way.
Mm.
Like I was supposed to have done something.
Right.
That's what I find in a, that's like my version of embarrassment now.
Yeah.
I'm glad we get to have this talk.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's great.
We can check that one off.
Okay. My second one, this is a nice twist, pride or being proud, not in like a seven, what's the
seven deadly sins?
Yeah. Not that, but like an honorable kind of pride.
I think I associate that the most with like, I don't know, June is Pride Month.
Oh, that's so weird. Cause of course I know that, but
right.
That's a different.
Yeah. That's, but I guess that's not going. A feeling.
Right. Or is it?
It's kind well, it's more of like an event to stir up a feeling, but it's an event entangled in a lot of other feelings and stuff too. Like,
yeah,
there's the pride in like being who you are, but then there's also like I don't want to say necessity, but that's the only word I can think of right now, of like needing to show up to like prove existence and to prove validity, to keep other people hopeful and stuff like that. I don't know. I think feeling pride as like an emotion is hard because I think we don't celebrate that as much. And like people who are super proud of themselves, we kind of don't like those people.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking of. Like, this was an interesting twist that you took. But I was thinking of like, what are you proud of? This is just an example, so you don't have to go here, but like, what would you be internally proud of that you wouldn't necessarily have to like be boastful about? It's just your own sense of that's a star on your forehead, but that you keep to yourself even.
Right. I don't know. I think I the first thing that comes to mind is like a lot of the projects I worked really hard on in like college and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I think I did a good job on those and I think I can be proud of those.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or I graduated high school in the middle of, or in the forefront of a pandemic. That's kind of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You get to wear that for a lifetime.
But then also with that, when I tell people that, the reaction isn't, oh, wow, that's a big deal. It's always, oh, I'm sorry. Who did that? So I don't know. That kind of takes it away.
Get retold in a different way.
Yeah. I'll read my kids' history book chapter if we still teach history.
Yeah. See if that gets banned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they talk about, is it like the era of World War II is like the greatest generation.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there'll be, I mean, I think that's nonsense anyway to say there's a greatest generation, but if you could look back and say, this group of people had to like do these things. This is how the world suddenly changed and you know, history will continue to unfold and see how that all shapes up. That'd be something to be proud of.
Yeah.
Yeah, I even wrote down pride instead of proud, and I never even thought of
like interesting.
Pride movements, pride flags, pride month.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I was coming at it from a different angle.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when it's thought of as a feeling, it's different.
Yeah, that's why we shouldn't talk about them so much. It just confuses things.
Yeah, we should have less or have more words.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Nostalgia.
Mm. Yeah, I think, I'm thinking about what it's not. Like a lot of people think of like the good old days, like back when we had our log cabins or back when we had our coal burning stoves. Or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think I'm nostalgic just for moments. Like.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah. Like our trip to Ireland, the four of us. Like
right.
I'm nostalgic for that and trips that we've done or just like outings or events that we've had.
Yeah.
Like that. I sometimes say like I keep pictures like up in my office so I can look back at those and like go back to those places.
Yeah.
Because of the whatever shit show that might be happening in my like like work life. Which generally isn't the case, but it's better like flashing back to certain things is better than doing some kind of accounting that I have to do once a month.
And also teaching physics is not as good as Ireland, just objectively, in my personal opinion.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, it doesn't, but it's, but I'm not. Yeah. So there are certain things that I do that I think, oh, I really wish I weren't doing this.
Right.
And I could think, gosh, wouldn't it be better if we were drinking a Guinness in Kinsale?
Yes.
But my idea of nostalgia is not that like, oh, it would be better than this terrible thing I'm doing. It's like, oh, I'm really fond of that time that we had. I'm really fond of that, not just the time, but the like the essence of what that was.
Yeah.
So it's not like the good old days. It's just like could even have been like there are certain things about, this might be coming to mind because you mentioned the graduating 2020 during the pandemic, the forefront of the pandemic, as you said. And I remember when we were particularly locked down, how quiet the streets were.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of nostalgic for that, even though that was a terrible time.
Yeah.
I liked how quiet it was.
Yeah. And how that caused like the ripple of like the wild turkeys walking down the street and the deer and.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, we'd see more wildlife all of a sudden. And
yeah.
Yeah. And Yeah. That was just kind of neat.
Yeah.
Something to remember. So yeah. So I guess I associate it with things I would want to remember or pass on.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah, you really did your research on the feelings. Okay, my feeling is bad. actually, not that far off. My number three is joy.
Joy.
Yeah. Which is, now that I think, that's right out of Inside Out 1. I'm not even as sophisticated as to think of something from Inside Out 2.
Well, you got anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I came up with that on my own.
Good job. Thanks. Yeah, joy is a childhood kind of excitement and just like living in the moment of joy.
How do you think about it in adulthood?
I guess so. I think I experience, like, I think joy is different in adulthood because joy in adulthood is specifically, I identify in like laughter and funny things.
Hmm.
But I think in childhood it was like you could, like, fun was different and fun was just like experience of constant life.
Mm. Yeah. Just that free form flow of things.
Yeah. Like I think of like looking back at like baby videos or something of me and like running around the dance studio as like a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
And like being excited that I was running.
Yeah.
Like I don't feel excited that I'm running right now.
Yeah.
I also don't run that much.
I remember that moment. I remember like that would be exhausting if you're doing it now.
Yeah. Or like playing in at like a nature park in some snakes that shot water.
Mm-hmm. And sculptures like, of fountain sculpture things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like saying like going like, "Mommy, I'm showering."
Uh-huh.
Like that is a joyful thing in that imagination. Or just that constant creativity, which I think is less of a constant in adulthood.
Hmm.
Like I think it can still be there, but it's it's more nuanced.
Yeah. I heard I think Mom and I went and heard, I think it was Cornel West. We heard him give a presentation and he made this distinction. Yeah. I mean, I don't agree with everything that he does or says, but he had this really wise, I'm almost positive it was him. I hope I'm getting this right. But I think he was distinguishing joy as he described it from pleasure, and pleasure being like just this immediate, like, oh, I'm eating a bag of Doritos kind of like, I just want to do that because that feels good. And joy being like this more long-term fulfillment kind of thing. The creative process or finding your joy in what you pursue and do.
Yeah. I had a sociology professor in college who taught like courses on critical race theory and like how racism is like inherent in culture and in addition to like sexism and like homophobia and like all of those like things.
Fun.
It's really fun.
Yeah, joyful.
But how he was saying like in addition to other acts of like anti-oppression work, it's also like one of the biggest things you can do is to express joy and especially express joy openly and authentically, which he was saying is really hard to do, especially in like minority groups.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what is discouraged and shut down in a lot of societal systems. So I don't know where I was going with that in this particular conversation, but just in
that's thinking, a nice framing of it. Yeah.
Yeah. In thinking about, I think it's easier for me to think about joy in adulthood as an anti-oppression work rather than a, because I think it can feel selfish too. Because it's self-centering.
But that expression of the self is pretty important. Like, if you don't have that, then what do you have?
Right. I think it's important, just but you I think.
And your wrapped up tangle of anxiety.
Yeah. But when it takes up space, I think that becomes scary.
Huh.
I don't know, scary, but.
Intrusive?
Yeah. And there's that, I guess, that anxiety again of saying, well, what if it's not the time or the space? But I think that reframing of it's always the time and the space.
Uh-huh.
And it's actively doing work, even if you might not think it's doing work.
Uh-huh. You reminded me of, I admire John Batiste.
Yeah.
Jazz pianist, jazz, I mean, just music genius, right?
Yeah. He wrote. For people who don't know, he wrote the music for like Soul, which is a Pixar movie, and has done a bunch of other cool work.
Yeah. Is it American Symphony?
I think.
It's a documentary on him.
It sounds right.
And his
partner.
Partner, now wife.
Yeah.
I'm going to mess up her name. I was just reading about her. We'll be corrected on this.
Yeah.
If
mom ever listens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she'll be, as soon as she's listening to this, she'll yell out the name right now. But when he, so I kind of hate him in a selfish way because he's so good.
Right.
But then when you watch him play, he'll like play a note and then he'll make the, like this face and he'll like say, "Ooh, that's good." like he'll express like something he did makes him feel really good. Like,
yeah,
of this joyful moment. I'm like, I just kind of like squirm because I might have hit the wrong note, but he like totally flips that, which I think is
cool.
A good lesson for all things.
It makes me think of also with joy, that documentary we just watched, which was it Summer of Soul?
Summer of Soul, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone should watch that.
It was a very good documentary about like in Harlem.
Uh-huh.
Summer of 69. I think other summers too, but
yeah, but this one in particular, because it was the same summer as Woodstock.
Yeah. But nobody paid attention to it.
Right.
Because, you know, it was like a primarily black audience with with like almost exclusively black musicians and playing soul and other jazz and like
R&B, yeah, Stevie like, Wonder was there. Mavis Staples was there.
Yeah. Like Slimes, everyone was there. Nina Simone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And tens of thousands of people.
Yeah. For free. And like it was a neighborhood event kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like that expression of taking up space and experiencing joy and community, I think that was really cool.
Yeah.
But also that it was pretty deliberately a political statement, but also just a statement of being.
Yeah.
In that sense of joy.
It was like a statement of being that itself was political because it being is a political statement.
Yeah.
For black folks living in Harlem in the 1960s.
Yeah. Playing soul.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially like Nina Simone getting up there and directly singing about oppression and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
She's just cool.
Did you know, totally random, because the Staples singers were part of that documentary.
Yeah.
Mavis Staples was just in Park City right up the road.
What?
Yeah.
That's
for like
cool.
A songwriter's thing.
Wow.
Yeah. She's still doing music. She's still.
Good for her.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good discussion of joy.
Yeah. Slightly different note.
Yeah.
Melancholy.
Oh. Hmm. I kind of like melancholy.
Yeah.
There's a Duke Ellington piano piece called Melancholia. That's really just slow and discordant. Like everything has like extra notes. It's very bass heavy. And I think of like that. And I think of Rainy Gray Days. And in a strange way, I have like an affinity for melancholy.
Yeah.
Because I don't think of it as like, I mean, I don't want to give away other feelings or emotions that we might bring up, but I feel like it's a necessary, like, oh, I can just dwell in this, not to feel sorry for myself or not to like be angry about something, but just to like, be in this other state, kind of a contrast to joy, but still just this kind of
being.
Yeah. So Melancholia, solo piano from Duke Ellington.
Yeah.
Would be
real up and comer.
Yeah. Yeah. You should listen to it.
Should check him out.
Yeah. See when his new single comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And your favorite, Nora Jones, did a, use that as, wrote lyrics to it, changed the key.
But that would be really good if someone covered it.
Yeah. Well, we do. It's on our album, actually. On our first album.
What's it? Is it called Melancholy?
I don't miss you at all.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do know that song.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I'll just for clarification to our listeners, I don't actually like Nora Jones.
Yeah. You
not, could, maybe not we'll intentionally.
Maybe it'll come up in another feeling we bring up.
Yeah, I don't intentionally dislike Nora Jones. It's just something.
She interviewed Mavis Staples on a podcast.
Mm.
Totally wonderful.
Yeah, I'm sure that's great.
Yeah. So there's my take on melancholy.
Yeah. Melancholy makes me think of Because of Winn-Dixie.
Oh.
That candy that they eat, the dad describes as melancholy.
I totally forgot about that.
And I always wanted that candy.
Yeah. Yeah, but it wasn't like, as he's describing it, wasn't like, oh, this is like despairing or like, it's not like the Dementors in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It's just like, I have this whole other
feeling.
Yeah.
And like all the kids like spit out the candy. They don't like it.
Right.
And like it tastes bad. But the adults okay. I don't like, they don't, that makes them uncomfortable, but they have a greater affinity for it in a way.
Yeah. I guess that's what I'm. Yeah. When I play like something on the piano, that's like far to the left on the keyboard and has a lot of dissonant notes. Like,
yeah.
That's not something you think, oh, turn that up.
Right.
It's like a dark room late night kind of thing.
Yeah. And it's raining.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's an Oregon feeling.
Yeah.
If Oregon weather was a feeling.
Oregon in February. Oregon coast in February.
Yeah. It's still pretty.
Yeah. But right.
Kind of.
It's got a flavor to it.
It's I almost said it's spicy, but it's not spicy.
Kind of like a not bitterness, but it's some other flavor that isn't, it's not coyly sweet.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's a feeling.
Okay. Wow. You went deep in whatever direction that wheel was.
Well, I was trying to avoid accidentally overlapping.
With something I would have?
Yeah.
Because it would just be like bad.
What is this feeling? Good?
Yeah. Bad and good.
Bad, okay. Good. Those are the two emotions.
How about better?
Worse. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So my next one is annoyance.
Oh. Yeah.
I don't know how to describe that one without using the word annoying.
Mm. It's just like irksome.
Yeah. Oh, good word.
Which is another emotion.
Yeah.
It's just like that. It's like a cross between frustration and like, I don't know. It's like frustration, but like tempered down.
Mm. Frustration was a contender on my list.
Oh.
Didn't make the cut, but no. I opted for annoyance.
Yeah. I think annoyance is more common than frustration.
Hmm.
Because it's like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a bitter person, but I find annoyance in a lot of different things.
So, like, give an example.
Like, I don't know, that person in a classroom who's asking the same question over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah, or, I know that guy.
Yeah. Or like when a professor says you're not allowed to eat in my class, but then they eat lunch in the class every single time or something.
The professor does?
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know. I had that professor and
yeah.
I didn't
like them. Professors are the worst for that kind of thing.
No, I like most of my professors.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, it feels kind of childish that you like, I don't know, my annoyances are often with other people, just being people. So I guess I'm annoyed by humanity.
But I think it's funny that you say, like you kind of suggest like, oh, I should be over this by now. But I get more annoyed with more things.
Yeah.
The older I, or maybe different things, but.
Right.
Certain things trigger my annoyance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of a thing that I'm not going to do anything about, but I will still feel a feeling maybe about.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll probably tell someone about it later and they'll be like, that's not a big deal. And
yeah.
Then I'll realize it's not a big deal.
Okay, so for example, I just saw, it's today is Sunday.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's relevant, but it's like a quieter day. People aren't going to work and stuff.
Right.
And up our neighborhood street, people come and I'm assuming back from church, they were dressed up.
Yeah.
It was like four people, a dad and a bunch of kids on a four wheeler going up the street.
Why?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So there's that and it was loud and they were going fast. They didn't have helmets.
Yeah.
And I was annoyed.
That's annoying.
Yeah.
The thing that gets me also with Sunday mornings is like, when people are driving to church, but church is less than a block away,
yeah.
But they still get in the car and drive to church.
Yeah. Yeah. In a hurry.
In a hurry. Yeah. And then I would be like, I used to work at the coffee shop right down the hill, which was farther than two church options, but I would walk
yeah.
because it's still like, I don't know, five blocks away. And which is not far, and people would like be swerving out of their driveways and I would almost get run over, but I didn't. Yeah. But that was annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, that is annoying. Huh.
I guess what's the difference between something being annoying and feeling annoyance? I guess that's what I'm stuck on.
I guess if you feel annoyance, then it's annoying to you.
Mm. That makes sense.
So it's not, I think you alluded to this earlier, like it's not a rational response.
Yeah.
Like, I think we called this podcast mouth sounds
uh-huh.
in part because we're it's annoyed an annoyance. With mouth sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, like slurping.
Yeah. Or, yeah. But like eating sounds.
Yeah.
Are an annoyance.
Yeah, but it's just humans being humans.
Yeah, I've gotten better at managing my annoyance with that.
That's good.
Not all the time, but most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
Or where I would get, like, when I was younger and Anna and I shared a room, I would get, like, annoyed at her for breathing wrong.
Yeah.
Or something.
That totally makes sense.
Which is not rational. And then she would get mad at me for getting mad at her for existing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's
complicated.
Better at that.
Yeah. Yeah. You only had nowhere to go but up for that one.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Yeah. Okay. Good talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this your last one?
It is my last one.
Okay.
My last one is fine.
Yeah, I realize now that I thought we would have some overlap, but we each picked five and we each picked a unique five.
Oh, that's good.
It's weird because I didn't know there were more than five feelings total.
Yeah, I thought you were going to maybe pick fine, but.
Yeah, no, I didn't pick that. Fine. Okay. So when you and I say fine, it's a tongue-in-cheek kind of reference to like not revealing too much emotion. And in
fact, mean on the podcast?
On the podcast, but also in general.
Yeah.
It's like, is it stoicism to be stoic?
Maybe.
You want me to look up stoic in the dictionary?
It might be part of that, but I don't know if that's the whole story.
Yeah. So I think when I say things are fine, I suddenly picture like the burning background.
the meme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
This is fine.
This is fine.
But also it could be, I think not enough people just like go with like, okay, that's what it is. And we're just going to keep going.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. It's not particularly important in the grand scheme of things in many cases. So we just keep going.
Yeah.
But it's also, I think, I was going to say you. I think we both do this. We're like, to say fine is just like to kind of like, I don't have words to express the things that might be going on, but there's nothing that's particularly what are anxiety or joyful or any, you know, the other feeling. I don't identify a specific thing. So it's just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had I don't know if they're quite fights, but discussions with mom about how I say fine. And I've tried to explain it of like, well, I don't know what I'm feeling or I don't want to think about what I'm feeling. And her response is that I should just say those words instead of saying I'm fine. Because apparently fine doesn't mean anything. But I think fine means a lot. And I don't want to say that it's that I don't know what I'm feeling because I don't necessarily want to unpack that and, like you said, rather keep going.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a placeholder.
Yeah.
For like, yeah. You come home from a big vacation and like you have this big bag. And it's a total mess. But if you just keep it in the bag for a second, like you have a chance to like kind of find some space to figure out what are the dirty clothes. And
Yeah.
That's exactly how feelings are.
Yeah. That's just a bag.
Keep them stuffed in your bag.
And leave them alone.
Uh-huh.
Keep and all then, my feelings right here. And then one day I'll die.
That's a John Mulaney.
Yeah.
But I think there's actual value in that. Like sometimes you can't, you're just going to set it aside for a second.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And it might turn out to not be important.
Uh-huh. And also, I don't think I need to know what it is all the time. Like, I think totally it's fine 100% to not know. Agree. And I think that there are different and potentially more interesting conversations than how are you?
Yeah.
Which is also a fine conversation if you want to have that conversation. But
yeah. Yeah. But it might not be your response via text message. Might yeah. be better just to say fine.
Yeah. Or while unpacking groceries.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yep.
It's a different conversation.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other thoughts on fine from your perspective?
No, I'm just going to leave it packed up.
Okay.
Okay, my last one. Oh, contentment.
That one's good.
Yeah.
Yep. It's an all right rather than a fine.
Yeah. I totally get that.
Yeah.
Maybe no one else will, but I do.
Right? It's, yeah. Like, how are you? Instead of fine, it's all right. And like, all right, you can potentially unpack, but it's also, it's fine how it is because it doesn't need to be unpacked.
Uh-huh.
But not because you don't want to touch it or because it's complicated, but just because it's good the way it is.
Hmm.
Or it's all right the way it is.
When do you experience that?
With my cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think in moments of connection and community and stuff like that, where there's nothing really being asked of anyone to fulfill. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of a being.
Hmm.
But not a joy. I guess it could overlap with joy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to.
Hmm.
I think you can be content and also feel all the other feelings if you wanted to. Like, you can be content and still be sad. Or you can be content and still be happy.
That'd be a really well-adjusted, self-possessed person.
Mm.
Yeah.
You should find that person.
Find that person to...
Interview them? I don't know.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, I think that's what... That's probably a better aspiration than like... famous or rich or
yeah
or successful or contentment.
Yeah. I think mom says like she doesn't want necessarily wish us to be happy. She wants us to be content.
Does she?
I think she said that before.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't know.
I mean, that's a great wish.
I don't know if that's how she's meaning it, but
yeah. No, I wasn't using that as the premise for this question.
Yeah, no, I know.
But yeah, that seems like that I should get to know her better. That's really wise.
You live with her, so
yeah.
It's a good step.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always
married more for 29 years.
29. This is the start of her 30th year.
Yep.
Yep. So there you go. Yeah. Yeah. And that's something, a state of being in which I am content and joyful.
Yeah.
Sometimes annoyed.
Well, sometimes she makes mouth sounds.
Yeah. But we all do. Like, this is, let's be clear. Like, that's,
yeah,
that's
it's like natural, which is partially why it's annoying.
Right.
Because it's kind of a constant. But it's also annoying when someone is annoyed with your mouth sounds.
It cycles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, good description of contentment.
Thanks.
Okay, so we each had five. Uh-huh. Maybe we'll publish this after all.
Yeah. Well, no one cried or anything, so that's good.
We didn't emote too much.
Yeah.
really.
We stayed pretty objective, I think.
I think so. Yeah, we did a good job.
Yeah.
Okay, we will never speak of this again.
Yeah, this is the... We probably won't talk about our feelings again.
Yeah. Okay. Any other updates or things we need to cover?
Nope.
Okay.
Agree? I don't think so. Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
Yep.
Okay. This has been, it's been good talking to you.
Yeah. Now let's put our feelings back inside.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good talking to you. Keep your feelings inside.
Thanks. You too.
Thanks. I will.
Good.
Bye.
Bye.
I can't get to sleep. I think about the implications of diving in too deep and possibly the